the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Don't worry about me. I got this all worked out.
How are the buttons working over there, Rob?
They're not.
Adam? No?
Hello?
Oh.
Where are the elephants? Are they there yet?
The elephants made it to the
good,
studio.
Good, good. I'll make sure they're okay.
How many elephants fit in the elevator at once?
Yeah, that's the problem.
It sounds like you're breaking the elephant's legs.
Checking in at
number 5.
That's an elephant biting. It's an elephant biting. Thank you for bringing us down, though, Violetta. It's an excellent piece of work. Hey, speaking from the floor of the United States Senate, Minority Leader Harry Reid today demanded, current Minority Leader, he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He's going bye-bye. Nice to see you. Have fun storming the castle. Harry Reid demanded President-elect Donald Trump rescind his appointment of Steve Bannon as White House chief strategist.
By placing a champion of white supremacists a step away from the Oval Office, what message does Trump send to the young girl who woke up Wednesday morning in Rhode Island afraid to be a woman of color in America? It's not a message of healing. If Trump is serious about seeking unity, the first thing he should do is rescind his appointment of Steve Bannon. Rescind it. Don't do it. Think about this. Don't do it.
One of the most divisive people announced as part of a White House staff, but
actually the first guy announced technically.
That's true. They kind of was on the first on the announcement along with Reince Priebus. Right.
Plus I'll have Reince Priebus too because he'll do whatever I tell him to do because I won, okay? Winner, winner, chicken dinner as my new Health and Human Services.
I don't eat chicken.
Secretary told me.
All right. May I? What? All right. Wait.
He's too fancy for chicken.
He eats fast food.
He eats at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Which is fine dining in my book, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who? Donald Trump?
My new Health and Human Services Secretary, Charlie Sheen, told me winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Can you imagine him ordering at the drive-thru?
Okay, we'll get to all that, Violetta. We have to stay on a straight line here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let you go. Yeah, that's a good move, actually. The longtime senator from Nevada called Bannon a champion of white supremacy and accused Mr. Trump of deepening America's wounds through the appointment.
As long as a champion of racial division is a step away from the Oval Office, it will be impossible to take Trump's efforts to heal the nation seriously. So I say to Donald Trump, take responsibility. Rise to the dignity of the office of President of the United States instead of hiding behind your Twitter account.
Oh, boy.
Good luck with that.
Why does Harry Reid always sound like he's asleep when he's doing that? He and Ben Carson should have a sleep-off.
Oh, God, can you imagine a debate between those two? It would be a sleep-off.
It would be a sleep-off. Yeah.
And they both kind of have the eyes, too, that look like they might be sleeping. They might be awake. Sleeping, awake. You're
this
not
is
sure.
Not working for me. None of this is working for me.
Number 4.
President George W. Bush has avoided public comment throughout his ex-presidency. 8 years. He's not talked
really
about the politics in any formative way. A little bit on that show, The Circus, which we love so much on Showtime.
Because he's close with Mark McKinnon.
Right. And he's appeared on the show, and he's talked a little bit about, you know, what it was like in the past getting, you know, preparing for debates and stuff like that. But he doesn't really talk about operational stuff. But, well, he did today, broke his silence. At the George W. Bush Presidential Center, he talked about anger.
I understand anger. And some people might have been angry when I was president. But anger shouldn't drive policy. What needs to drive policy is what's best for the people who are angry.
Now, I heard that a couple of times today.
Right.
And I'm not sure what he's saying. There's two ways to interpret what he said, and I'm not sure.
Is it a direct response to Stephen Bannon's appointment, do you think?
Well, I think
he's somebody who is known to be sort of angry in a way, and he actually promotes anger. It's one of the things, talking points.
I think he's talking about the entire take here. And the idea is you have a bunch of people angry, and you made them angrier. You have identified a series of problems, and you've identified the Trump voters in the main as the victims of the bad actions of whether it's Democrats or whether it is Hillary Clinton specifically, or whether it is Mexican illegal aliens, or whether it is the blacks, or it is and then his sideswipes, which are really not identifying them as bad people for the American people, but belittling whether it was John McCain. And I want to be specific here because people make broad generalizations, or that that reporter who was disabled,
right,
and stuff like that.
Who he mimicked.
And then anybody who is, and then when you read the thing about the complete and total ban of Muslims coming into America, you know, whether you're Muslim or whether you are, somebody, with a disability or somebody who already worries about their place in the culture, in the society, and in the economy.
And there are a lot of people in that position right now.
And now you feel as though you are now being the butt of that other people are angry at you for being here at all and whether you're here legally or not, I mean, it becomes another issue. And so I think what I believe, this is the problem. I don't want to have to interpret this. I would have liked him to have been more clear.
Well, he didn't mention Trump by name, and he did that specifically because he says he didn't think it was right to criticize a successor, but
right.
He's sort of making an open statement, maybe even a call for calm about let's do the right thing here, people.
Work on policy, not on further aggravating the anger and stirring up the anger in
fanning
America.
Fanning the flames, right? Yeah.
And then he can say mission accomplished.
It's got our own podcast going now. All right, Violetta, I'll tell you what would be good right now. The WGN
traffic
trouble spots. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Kick it! Beastie Boys, landmark debut, License to Ill, was released 30 years ago today. Holy crap, am I old?
I know, don't you start feeling old when you hear that stuff? Oh.
You wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go.
This album went diamond. 10 million copies sold. Beastie Boys were a hardcore punk band. Then they met a young Rick Rubin who encouraged the band to explore hip-hop sounds. The result was just the wildest combination of punk and rap. And it made hip-hop mainstream, and it brought punk to a whole new world.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap. And me.
My team.
But had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey in a court.
All right, that is something.
30 years ago.
I know, there was something special. Checking in at
number two.
Oh, boy. On a recent flight from San Francisco to Puerto Vallarta, a pilot had to stop a fight from breaking out about the election.
Oh, no.
On board the plane, and he had to stop by using the intercom.
Oh, no.
We're going to be in a metal tube at 35,000 feet to bring up politics. Okay? I understand everybody has their opinions. That's fine. If you support it, great. If you don't, I understand. However, we're out here to go to Puerto Vallarta. We're supposed to be having a good time. And what I do ask is that as people, we have the common decency to respect each other's decisions and to get along on this 3-hour and 13-minute flight so that we can have a good time when we get down there.
Thank you, Captain. Is it really that hard? Just respect each other?
Now, passengers said the fight began when a man in a plaid shirt and camo cap said something racist about being glad that he kept his gun to an African-American woman. She began to cry, and she freaked out. Then they separated the two of them, and the captain of the flight had to then say this.
Nobody wants to argue. Nobody's going to change their minds by arguing. And let's keep our opinions to ourselves on this particular matter at this particular time. Yeah. When cooler heads prevail and we can talk and realize that we're all human beings and that we all can stick together and we can all pull for this country in our own way, then that's what we should do. If there's anybody that has a problem with this, it's going to that needs to vent or rant or rave, there's another flight tomorrow. It's not going to be on this one. I hope that's clear.
Woo! Well said. Thank you.
Were they in the air at this point?
I thought they were.
Sounds like they were in the air.
Yeah, it sounds like, but maybe they even considered, landing if there's a big fight like that, that.
All right, you two in the back. Go make me turn this plane around. By the way, we know you have a lot of choices when you fly. Why don't I think you're flying Southwest.
Wait, what was it? Was it South? Do we know what the airline was?
I think United Airlines.
I thought you were flying United. Oops, everything's broken up here. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
I'm not concerned with that at all.
That's the point where I'm the captain. I'm like,
let me tell you some folks back there. Y'all could fight about as much politics as you want about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or black or white or gun rights, Second Amendment. Doesn't matter to me.
Sure.
Because right now, engine's on fire.
Intercom's not working too well either.
Right. So good luck to all of us. Mm-hmm. Let's pray.
There are other things to be concerned with sometimes when you're at 30,000 feet.
I rarely ever suggest this in the middle of a flight, but turn on your phones, call your loved ones.
God.
This thing ain't gonna end well.
I hope I never hear that.
Again, we know you have a lot of options when you fly. Well, I think you're flying with us today.
You still get pretzels, or how does this work?
Yeah,
no peanuts. Imagine the fight they'll break out if they brought peanuts out now.
Right. Do they have
allergies?
Do they stop the beverage cart when something like that happens?
That's exactly what they bring out. Get the Carnival wagon, get all the booze you got.
Yeah.
It would help, maybe.
Yeah.
Or hurt. I don't know which.
And finally,
number one.
Donald Trump's going to move into the White House in January. And Jimmy Kimmel already has ideas about how the president-elect is going to renovate it.
Oh, this is great.
This is from Witness News. Where they make stuff up and they ask people to comment on it
and
the street.
And they think it's real and they say, oh, yeah, I knew that.
Do you like the idea of a White House food court?
No, not at all.
What restaurants would you want to see? I'll run through some of the names of some restaurants.
Okay.
Potential restaurants. You tell me yes or no.
Okay.
McDonald's.
Definitely not.
A Cinnabon.
Cinnabon's good.
What have people been saying about Donald Trump's plans to put a waterbed in and a mirror on the ceiling in the bedroom?
Oh,
man, some people saying it's cool. Some people saying it's going too far. But, if you like to get down and get a little freaky, you want to look at yourself on the ceiling in the mirror, if you want to bounce around on the waterbed, so be it.
So him putting a giant T outside and painting it gold, is that the right move? You know what? That's him. That should work. People think that this is okay. Because you just don't know, really, do you?
Do you think that millennials know yet that this isn't some sort of ironic media trick? That this is this is not entertainment. This actually happened.
We're not getting punked here? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Uh-oh.
Champagne fountain, not going to happen. That we know of. That we know of.
I thought we were reading The Onion the whole time on my Facebook page. This is happening?
Yeah. I like how Facebook now has announced they're going to do away with fake news. They're going to start looking at these fake news stories that come out.
Right, because it's a blurry line now between real and
really.
It's like, what? What is happening?
Zuckerberg is going to be out there going, listen, this whole fake news about Donald Trump getting elected president, well, that's not real.
Good one, man.
All right.
People can decipher that stuff on their own, but
Really?
I do.
Really?
I think you know what the fake news sites are. You do.
Have you met Violetta? All right, here we go. Sorry.
We're wrapping it up, aren't we?
As we're wrapping it up.
Okay.
The top five at five.